Last week, we started looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And if you recall, we looked at two verses from that chapter, which we described as the very heart of the whole chapter and the very heart of the Apostle Paul. And the encouragement for us is that we would be challenged to make this our very heart as well. Woe to me, Paul says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I am entrusted with a stewardship. Now last week we looked at the chapter 9, we looked at verses 1 through 18. We noted that it was Paul's commitment to preach the gospel for free. Now even though he was a legitimate apostle and he had a significant relationship with the church there at Corinth, he did not want from them financial compensation for what he was doing. In fact, he said he did not want to be deprived of his boast. And what was his boast? That he was committed to preaching the gospel for free. He had been given a trust by God, and therefore he felt under obligation to preach without that preaching being conditional upon any man or conditional upon any church who was paying him or supporting him financially. Paul does, in those opening verses, verses 7 through 14, present a very compelling case why the local church ought to support those that are committed to preaching the gospel. But he presents that case not so as to receive that right, but to draw attention to the fact that even though he ought to have been paid by the church there at Corinth, he was committed to preaching the gospel for free. This reflects Paul's commitment to preach. His words there in verses 16 through 18, words that we looked at last time, tell us the heart of the Apostle Paul. And when we look at those verses, we see three key features in Paul's commitment to preach. First of all, we see his attitude. Paul had a heartfelt desire and an attitude toward the gospel that compelled him to share the gospel with all who would listen. For he recognized that salvation was available in no other name, and there was salvation available in no other message. Paul had an attitude toward the gospel reflected in chapter 2 of this letter, verses 1 and 2. If we remember, Paul says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I was resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was Paul's attitude. And when we reflect on that, it challenges us to consider our own attitude. What do we see the gospel as? Do we share Paul's commitment here? The second feature we see in Paul's words there is the sense of obligation. Paul states that he did not choose to preach the gospel. It was not his decision to travel around the Mediterranean world and start churches. Paul did not see his work as optional. He was called and commissioned by God to engage in a preaching ministry. He was entrusted with a stewardship. Paul could not preach. Again, this perspective of Paul challenges us when it comes to our own willingness to share the gospel with others, our own willingness to be a witness, to be a proclaimer of God's message to others. Do we recognize that the Great Commission has put all of us under this same obligation? We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Both of these passages cannot be read as something that is optional. We are all under an obligation, just as the Apostle Paul was under an obligation to proclaim to others. We were called to be the witnesses that would go and tell all the nations. And finally, there was an expectation. Actually, we could say with the Apostle Paul, there was no expectation. He sought no reward. He sought no recognition. He did not make his preaching conditional on anything that man would give him or withhold from him. He was beholden to no one save God. We sometimes will make our witnessing and our sharing of the gospel conditional. We sometimes make excuses why we cannot share the gospel in certain situations. But we must recognize that these excuses have nothing to do with God, but everything to do with our own lack of confidence, our own perceived receptivity of the gospel. We say sometimes to ourselves, well, I don't want to share with that person because I know they're not going to want to listen to me. Or I don't want to share with this situation because they probably think I'm silly by sharing my faith. Paul's attitude, Paul's sense of obligation, Paul's lack of expectations or in conditions challenge us. Instead, we need to share our faith. We need to tell other people about the salvation that is available in Christ with no expectations and no conditions. Sharing the gospel because it is an obligation that has been placed upon our lives. And do that with an attitude of urgency, recognizing that it is only in the gospel that salvation is available to a lost world. All three of these features, the attitude, the obligation, and the expectations, modeled to us by the Apostle Paul, and therefore becoming for us a challenge in our own exercise of sharing and witnessing to others about the gospel. Let's turn now to the next section of our passage this morning. Last week we looked very carefully at verses 6 through 18. So today let's start with verse 19 and read the whole of that section. This is what Paul writes beginning at verse 19. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. I like the way Paul starts that. He says that he is free from all, but he makes himself a servant of all. This again points to the attitude of Paul, his sense of obligation and expectations that we addressed just a moment ago. Why would someone who is free from all intentionally make himself a servant of all? Well, Paul tells us what motivated him to do this. In fact, Paul tells us 7 times in these 5 verses what motivated him to do this, that he may be able to win some to Christ. Paul is willing to become as a Jew in order that he might win the Jews. And then he repeats that same phrase five more times with different people groups, emphasizing again that he might win others to Christ. I think he finally decides to change the wording just a little bit to give some variety, but maintaining the same basic idea. In verse 22, he says that by all means I might save some. Verse 23, he says that I might share with them in its blessings. That is, that the blessings of salvation would be to them. So take these five verses together and we see seven times where Paul says that he is willing to trade his position of being free from all men to being a servant of all men so that he may win them to the Lord. There's the heart of the Apostle Paul. And again, there is the challenge for each one of us. To what degree do we share in that passion? Now, I know our church is a small church and we have a great commitment to missions. We have a great commitment to sharing others. We're always encouraged when we have our missions offering. In fact, just our last offering, we had a visitor one day during our last offering and they noticed the amount that we had collected for Lottie Moon. And the comment was made afterward, wow, a church this size raising that much money? And I was able to say, well, these folks want to see the gospel go into all the world. And also, just last week, we talked about those in this congregation who continue to tell stories about sharing their faith with others. And we're always encouraged by that. That is indeed our heart. But we also need to be challenged a bit and look for ways to improve. Because we see in the Apostle Paul this sense of urgency, this sense of obligation. And we need to always recognize that that is indeed what we have been called to do. And look for ways for the Holy Spirit to encourage us to improve in these very things. Now in this passage, Paul mentions several different people groups that he was willing to become like in order to share the gospel with them, to win them to Christ. Now this morning we're not going to look at each one of these people groups and how Paul became like that people group. In fact, we're going to just talk about the Jews today and how Paul became like a Jew in order to win Jews to Christ. But if we had more time, we could go through the Gospels, or actually the book of Acts and the letters of Paul, and build a compelling case how Paul indeed became like all of these different people groups in order to win them to Christ. Now, first thing, let's note an important point here. Paul is not becoming these different people groups, but instead he is becoming like or as them. We saw last week that Paul says, I am who I am by the grace of God. And we are who we are by the grace of God. And we cannot become some different person. But we see here that Paul wants to become like or as different people groups in order to win them to Christ. At his core, he is not Jew. He is not Greek. He is not weak. In fact, at his core, he is a child of God by the grace of God. But his desire is to win these groups, and so he becomes like them. We ourselves don't have to become different people groups in order to win them to Christ, but we need to recognize the value of identifying with different people groups in order to win an audience with them so that we then are in a position to share the gospel with them. Let's start today by just considering Paul's willingness to become as a Jew. Now remember, before Paul became a believer, he was indeed firmly established within the Jewish tradition. That was until God met him on that road to Damascus and changed his life forever. Now, Paul recognized that God had called him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. However, he continued to have a burden upon his heart for his brothers, the Jews. Last week we considered the opening verses of Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 10, both of these passages revealing the heart of the Apostle Paul, how he was committed to see his brother Israelites come to faith. Yes, he was the apostle to the Gentiles, but he was also a minister unto his own people, the Jews. You know, this dual focus of Paul is reflected well in the words of Ananias. Ananias, if you recall, was sent to the Apostle Paul soon after Paul came to the city of Damascus, after God had changed his life there on the road. And then we read in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 15, it says, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings, and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" Isn't that kind of strange? That's the first word from God he heard, that God was going to show him how much he must suffer as he brings the word. And Paul was still committed to go and do those very things because God had called him to be the apostle to the Gentiles, but also to bring the message of the gospel to his own people. You know, Paul's commitment to both the Gentiles and the Jews is seen very clearly in Paul's strategy as he traveled around the Mediterranean world bringing the gospel to different cities. We see through the book of Acts how time and time again, as he came to a new city, Paul would always start his new work there in the Jewish synagogue. He would go to the synagogue first and he would preach Christ in the synagogue. That is, until the Jews rejected Jesus or the message of Jesus as the promised Jewish Messiah. It was only after getting kicked out of the synagogue that Paul then began to preach to the Gentiles. Paul saw himself as the apostle of the Gentiles, but he always started by bringing the message to the Jews. He became, as a Jew, preaching Jesus as the Jewish Messiah in the Jewish synagogue. And it was only when they rejected him and ran him out that he would then go to the Gentiles of the city, which generally made the Jews even more upset with him, but that was Paul's commitment. You know, one of the very clear examples of Paul becoming as a Jew in order to win the Jews to Christ was the addition of Timothy to his missionary team. It was during Paul's first missionary journey that he came to the city of Lystra, and he preached the gospel there in that city. Now, Lystra was the hometown of a young man named Timothy, and it seems as though Timothy became a believer because of Paul's ministry in that city. When Paul passes through the city of Lystra during his second missionary journey, Timothy expressed a desire to join Paul in his missionary work. One of the problems, however, with that idea is that Timothy wasn't circumcised. You see, Timothy's father was Greek, and so Timothy, like his father, remained uncircumcised. However, Timothy's mother was Jewish. And in the eyes of a Jewish population, if your mother is Jewish, then you are Jewish. And so from the perspective of the Jews, Timothy was a Jewish boy who wasn't circumcised. And this would have created a tremendous obstacle for Paul's missionary activities among the Jewish people in any city that he visited. The minute the Jews recognized that Paul was traveling with an uncircumcised Jew, they wouldn't listen to Paul. They would put up a wall of resistance. Paul knew that. And so he told Timothy that if Timothy really desired to travel with him, he would need to be circumcised. Timothy agreed. This shows us the level of commitment that Timothy had to bringing the gospel to others, of joining Paul in his missionary work. It also again, shows Paul's desire not to create any kind of a stumbling block or hindrance to the preaching of the gospel to the Jewish people. Paul became, as a Jew, he required Timothy to become as a Jew if he wanted to join the missionary team in order to win the Jews to Christ. Now remember, Paul and Timothy are not becoming Jews as a matter of salvation. Instead, they are simply becoming Jews, or Timothy is receiving circumcision in order to win an audience with the Jewish people. In fact, the story of Timothy becoming circumcised in order to join the missionary team takes place in the book of Acts chapter 16. You go back one chapter to chapter 15, you have what's called the Council of Jerusalem. This is where the issue of circumcision was discussed and decided by the whole church. They gathered together to talk about this issue, whether or not anything had to be done in order to become a believer in Jesus Christ and receive salvation other than faith in Christ. And if you remember in that particular passage, it was decided by the church that it was faith in Christ, a commitment to Christ, that was all that was needed for salvation and not circumcision. And so clearly, Paul's suggestion to Timothy that he get circumcised had nothing to do with salvation and everything to do with winning an audience with the Jewish people so that the gospel of Jesus Christ could be presented. Paul and Timothy became as a Jew in order to win the Jews to Christ. Here's another interesting example of Paul's willingness to do what it needs to be done to win that audience. When he arrived in the city of Jerusalem, after his third missionary journey, he met with the leaders of the church there in Jerusalem. Now, because the church in the city of Jerusalem was made up primarily of believers from a Jewish background, there were some concerns about the Apostle Paul that had come to the city of Jerusalem. Rumors, if you will. And the rumors were that Paul was preaching a message to those outside Jerusalem, a message to those in the Gentile territories that would be uncomfortable for a Jewish person. Now, these were just rumors, and they were false rumors. You know, most rumors do turn out to be false. Here was the rumor. The rumor was that Paul was telling Jews living out in the Gentile territories to forsake the traditions of Moses and to stop circumcising their children. Now, the leaders in Jerusalem felt that if these rumors weren't addressed, Paul's reception in the city of Jerusalem would be hurt. So Paul assured them that the rumors were completely false. And if you look through the book of Acts, you clearly see that Paul never encouraged Jewish people to not be circumcised or not follow the traditions of Moses. But the leaders here in the church suggested that Paul do something in order to show the believers there in Jerusalem and the Jews there in Jerusalem that these rumors were completely false and that Paul had not abandoned the traditions of the Jews. They suggested that he participate in a purification ceremony there in the Jerusalem temple and that he pay the fees for others who had taken similar Jewish vows. Paul had no problems with that proposal, and he willingly participated in this Jewish ritual in order to show that the rumors were false, and thus to remove any hindrance of having an audience with those from a Jewish background. Those are just two examples of Paul and Paul's willingness to become, to identify himself with a particular people group in order to have an audience with them, in order to share the gospel with them. And again, if we had time, we could go through the book of Acts and through the letters of Paul and present a similar case on how he became like a Gentile or like the weak in order to win these people groups to the Lord. But the point is clear. Paul was willing to become like each of these groups in order to win them to Christ. In fact, here's an interesting point of comparison. The gospel itself is an example of this very principle. The gospel is the message of God who sent his Son to live as one of us, in order to die upon the cross, in order to be raised from the dead so that we could have a newness of life. I'm talking here about the incarnation. Paul put it very clearly in Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. This is the very principle that Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. God sent his Son to this world, the incarnation, in the likeness of sinful man. Now, Christ did not become a sinful man. He came in the likeness of sinful man in order to be that sin offering and thus provide atonement for the sins of humanity. In the incarnation, God is showing this very principle that Paul is talking about here. That's why Paul was able to say in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Christ became like us in order to provide salvation to us. Paul becomes like different people groups in order to share this salvation with them. We need to become like the people that we encounter in order to continue to spread the gospel to all nations. Now, one thing that Paul never did, and one thing that we must be careful never to do, Paul never watered down the gospel or soft-pedaled the ethical demands of the gospel in order to win more to Christ. In fact, remember the words that Paul shared in the opening chapter of our letter, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And then in verse 23, he says, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Paul recognized how many Jews and many Gentiles viewed the gospel. But he was not about to change the message of the gospel to make it seem less foolish or to become less of a stumbling block. Paul continued to preach Christ and him crucified because that is the very heart of the gospel. And thus it is the only means of salvation for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. This brings to mind a quote from Greg Kochel, a well-known Christian apologist. This is what he writes. He said, Christianity is offensive enough. Don't add any more offense to it, but we dare not remove the offense inherent in the gospel. To some, the gospel is going to be foolishness. To others, it will contain elements that are a stumbling block for them. However, we cannot water down the gospel in order to make it more appealing to the lost. For the minute we water down the gospel, we no longer have a gospel, and we no longer have the power of God for salvation. Likewise, we cannot soft-pedal the ethical demands of the gospel. Now, the ethical demands of the gospel are not the saving power of the gospel, but The God who sent his son to die on the cross to secure our salvation is the very same God who calls all men to live by a particular moral standard. We cannot embrace the gospel and at the same time completely reject the moral standards that the God of the gospel has given to us. Also keep in mind that when we preach the gospel, we are not requiring people to live up to a particular moral standard in order to be saved. Our salvation is only through Christ and Him crucified. But we also cannot soft pedal the moral demands of the Bible in order to get more people into church. And we also need to be very careful that we don't lower the moral standards of the Bible in order to keep people in the church. Like the Apostle Paul, we must preach Christ and Him crucified, recognizing that there will be some who see that as foolishness, and there will be some that see that as a stumbling block. So what are some of the applications for us from all of this? Well, first of all, we must ask ourselves some tough questions. We must ask ourselves, how do we reach different people groups? We must be challenged on whether or not we are limiting our outreach to people just like us, or if we indeed are trying to become all things to all people so that we may win some to Christ. And then how do we do that? How do we become like other groups? What groups is it that we need to strive to reach out to? We need to identify with people and identify those people groups that need to hear the gospel that we can share with them. That means getting out of our comfort zone, because people that are not like us aren't like us, and therefore we're uncomfortable. But Paul, as he traveled around the Mediterranean world, recognized that his level of comfort wasn't the issue. It was rather bringing the message of the cross to all peoples. And so we are challenged, and as we think about who it is and how it is that we would become like other people groups, and how we would get out of our comfort zones in order to share the gospel with them, putting into practice the very idea that Paul is sharing with us here. Whatever it takes to bring the gospel to all peoples, doing whatever it takes so as to win some to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul, the challenge that he gives to us in reaching out and in getting out of our own comfort zones and becoming all things to all people so as to win some to Christ. Father, our desire is to be faithful to the obligation that you've placed under us, to be faithful to the call upon our lives, to be those witnesses that you have called us to be. Father, we thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins, and we pray that you would help us to share that message and that truth with all peoples that we encounter. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.